I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 3rd of December. We're going to be talking about shopping, consumerism during these holidays, this first hour of the program, and look at the first half hour of the program, what happened with Thanksgiving weekend sales. Evidently, they were down about 11% from last year. So does it mean that we've had enough of the whole madness associated with Black Friday? Or does it mean that consumers are just feeling that they don't have as much money as they used to have? The businesses that did do fairly well last weekend were small businesses. Small Business Saturday was very successful. It celebrated its fifth year with really great support for local independent businesses. We have two guests with us this hour to look at what's happening nationally. Is it indeed that we don't feel the recession is over, that we don't have as much money, or are we just fed up with the commercialism associated with all of the sales following Thanksgiving, not following Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving this year? We'll be speaking with Ken Perkins from Retail Metrics, the first half hour. Kelly Andrew joining us, the second half hour, Managing Director for Local First Milwaukee and Owner Chief Strategist for Filament, a communication strategies consulting firm. We'll look at the importance of local shopping to a community and to the growth of jobs in communities all over the country. Welcoming phone calls as well. I would think that you all have an opinion about shopping. I don't know if you do online shopping, if you feel you don't have as much money this year, if you have chosen very consciously to shop locally to help your local economy. We're just interested in your holiday shopping experiences this hour as well. Our phone number all hour is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Like us and we'll give you updates of what shows we'll be talking about. And we're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. Ken Perkins founded Retail Metrics Incorporated in 2004 to provide the institutional investment community with independent research on the retail industry, including consensus same-store sales, earning, and surprise research and data. Ken, thank you very much for being with us. Hi.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, our pleasure. Well, I've heard differing statistics. The New York Times reporting that the Thanksgiving weekend sales were down 11% from the year before. Is that an accurate number, or are you looking at something else?
Yeah, that's the industry trade organization, the National Retail Federation, puts out an estimate based on 4,600 surveyance, and you know, that's the number that they came up with. That seems a little bit much of a decline for me and for what we saw in the stores, and particularly from the online data. You know, they indicated that their online sales surveys were actually down as well, and all the other numbers that we saw from IBM digital analytics, whether it was from Adobe or Channel Advisors or Comscore, all suggested that online sales were upwards in the 10 to 20% range. So that decline seems a little bit much. Certainly, it looked much quieter in the malls on Friday morning. It was eerily quiet in our store visits from previous years, and traffic did look slow to us over the rest of the weekend as well. Thanksgiving night was very busy at a number of different locations, particularly the discount-oriented stores.
Mm. So everybody just came home and went to bed.
Yes, I think that the retailers' desire to capture dollars earlier and earlier, you know, is pulling more and more traffic into Thanksgiving. You know, you look at total Black Friday weekend sales. In 2010, Thanksgiving accounted for less than 2% of those. This past Thanksgiving, estimates are for as high as 15% of total sales. So it's clearly grabbing share from Black Friday. Mm. And Saturday.
Is there a way for you, Ken, with all of your research, to determine whether or not people feel that the recession isn't over and that they're still feeling that they just don't have as much money to spend?
Quantifiably, it's difficult to gauge, but when you look at surveys of consumers, and particularly the lower middle-income consumer, that consumer under $50,000 in income, that family, and the wage gains that they have not been seeing since the end of the Great Recession. You know, we've been seeing roughly 2% per year increases in wages, and they are not benefiting typically from having a portfolio that's appreciated with the stock market over the last several years. They typically don't have a heavy investment in real estate as well, which is also appreciated. So it does to them, I think, very much feel like the recession is still continuing. And they're looking at increased expenses in other areas as well. We all know that cable TV expenses have gone up. You know, that could be a luxury for some, but many want to have it. You know, they're spending more on data plans and smartphones.
Right.
Expenses have come up rapidly. So they're feeling pinched, I think.
Yeah, it is true. The amount of money we spend on what you just mentioned, our phones and our cable bills, is really astronomically high, isn't it?
Well, when you think about it, if you're paying anywhere from $150 to $200 for cable and internet per month, and that's even without a lot of premium channels and not watching movies on demand, you know, when you do that, it pushes the bill even higher. That's about $2,400 a year in some instances for many consumers. That's a lot of money that used to go into traditional retailers. Same with data plans. You know, in smartphones, we all know they are not necessarily cheap as they start to more and more amortize the cost of those over the plan. So
yeah,
taking money away from traditional retailers.
I read somewhere, Ken, I don't know if this is true or not, that the big item over the Black Friday last 4 days was television sets.
You read correctly.
That's right, huh?
Yes, there is a renaissance taking place over the last year or so in terms of ultra-high-def televisions. And you know, the quality of the picture is absolutely amazing, and retailers and TV manufacturers have been trying to bring the prices down. And over Black Friday weekend, that was a particular draw. You know, anywhere from $200 up to $650, $700, depending on the type of model, for ultra high def TVs. A great deal for many that really were looking for a break. You know, several hundred dollars off is a huge savings for a family with income under $50,000.
Well, what in the world is the difference between an ultra-high-def and a high-def? We have high-def, and I think it's pretty darn good. I was fine with the regular old television set, but how could ultra-high-def be the ultimate?
And I'm sure there'll be an ultimate after that
right,
as well.
Right.
But when you go into a Best Buy or to a Sears or you know any consumer electronics department and actually look at the picture, it really, the number of pixels that they're able to pack in is absolutely amazing. It looks so much more vivid and clear. When we saw high def compared to standard TV, it's kind of that leap. So it is a very large attraction to many consumers looking to upgrade. And the prices have come down sharply for these particular TVs, and a very hot selling item, and will likely continue to be so throughout this holiday season.
Mm-hmm. And evidently, electronics, most people, over half, when they were doing Black Friday purchasing over the last 4 days, were buying some form of electronic.
That is correct. The hottest items are mostly in that particular category, whether it be GoPro portable cameras, whether it be wearable technology that allows you to monitor your pulse and other health data points, whether it be tablets, smartphones, all those popular items tend to fall into this particular category, and that's what most consumers have been interested in, particularly younger people. And this is coming largely at the expense of most consumers, despite the age group, really not spending much on apparel. They're moving those dollars into the electronic space, it really looks like to us.
And what about what retailers are doing, Ken? We heard that stores like Walmart weren't doing anything special on Black Friday. Their sales were the month of November. Black Friday is the whole month of November. Are a lot of retail operators operating the same way?
We have seen, and it really caught momentum this year with a number of retailers, Walmart being first and foremost, really kicking off the Black Friday and holiday shopping season immediately following Halloween. And a number of retailers, auto dealers, service-oriented type companies, you know, offering pre-Black Friday sales earlier in November. We've seen the Christmas creep into Thanksgiving. Our expectation is this trend will continue to move forward. And really is all about competition, Kathleen. These retailers are feeling an increased pressure to capture spending dollars earlier and earlier. And most consumers have a fixed budget. Once it's spent, it's spent. If you don't capture it early, you may not get it at all. And I think they're feeling compelled to offer these deals earlier. It's also offering consumers the opportunity to have more deals spread out over more time and not necessarily have to fight the insanity of going out on Black Friday and get a parking space and, you know, fight the crowds as well. I don't think they're going to have to do that going forward.
Mm-hmm. What about cars? There are so many car commercials during this time of year, these beautiful cars with a big, big, big red bow. Do people really buy cars for holiday presents?
I don't know too many people who do, but they're clearly buying cars right now.
Are
Black
they?
Friday auto sales were up, estimates I've seen up 10%.
Huh.
Black Friday weekend. We saw the November auto sales numbers come out yesterday. It topped a 17 million, came in 17.1 million seasonally annually adjusted rate, which is a very strong, robust rate. They were up 4.5% year over year in November. So consumers are buying vehicles. And again, this is another item, I think, you know, given the current state of the economy and lack of wage gains, that's taking money away from traditional retailers. You know, there's data out there from Edmunds.com that shows that the average car loan now is 67 months. That's 5.5 years.
Woo.
The second longest
goodness.
The history that they've been tracking that. So if you're taking on a new car payment anywhere from $100 to $300 or $400 a month, again, that's dollars that used to be ticketed towards discretionary purchases, you know, now going to your bank or to the credit union.
Right. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Our first half hour is with Ken Perkins, and Ken is founder of Retail Metrics, so he knows the scene of where we shopped, what we bought, if we were down from last year, if we did a lot of online shopping, all of that, and he analyzes our shopping habits, and so that's what we're talking about the first half hour. This buying local movement really was quite successful this year. It's been around for about 5 years. The second half hour, we'll speak with the managing director for Local First Milwaukee. Let's go to calls and emails. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. And we start our calls with Scott in La Crosse. Hi, Scott.
Hi there, Kathleen.
Hi.
I would at the outset here need to say that I've never been a real Black Friday kind of guy, but this year in particular I noticed I keep a trash mail account where I, whenever I order anything, mail order or online, and they always want an email address just so they can notify you when it's going to be delivered and all that. Yeah, right, right, right.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Immediately signed up for all their advertising. And as your guest there was saying, I just could not believe the volume of these things. And it started with this really after Thanksgiving and that whole pre-Black Friday. And now it's continued because now not only did we just get by Cyber Monday, now they're calling it Cyber Week, and as I was telling Scotty when I called in, I'm practically getting carpal tunnel from hitting the delete key. I'm just turned off by the entire process, and I wouldn't be totally surprised if some of my fellow citizens are feeling the same way, because from the comments I hear, people just kind of rolling their eyes like, you know, how much of this do we really want to go through to get, you know, some great bargain on something that, as one person said, how many flat screen TVs can we put up in our house?
Exactly. So a lot of people sharing Scott's sentiments. Ken?
That's not something we track specifically, but I certainly, anecdotally, I would not be surprised if many of his fellow citizens, our fellow citizens, are feeling a bit put off. And you do get inundated, and it becomes a bit much, and it's only going to get worse. Retailers using new apps and increased improvements in technology are really starting to refine how they target you as well. You know, be careful when you have your cell phone on in a store when you're walking around, because they're going to be able to start targeting you with very specific ads to the aisle that you're in.
Oh, my.
So there's more of that to come. I don't see anything changing in that regard. It is going to become quite amazing what they can do. Now, it may provide you with a deal you wouldn't have had otherwise, and you may like it, but I think most Americans are probably going to be a bit put off.
Thanks very much, Scott, for your call. Always nice to hear from you. What about the demographics of the people who are doing shopping? I have read that a lot of people who don't, working people who are not at the top level of income in this country are the ones who tend to go shopping because they are looking for good deals, and they tend to be younger people. Some of it is social, but some of it is if you don't have a whole lot of money, you want to get the best deal possible, so you take advantage of these supposed big sales.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate assessment. We've done a little bit of survey work in this area, and when you're out, particularly on Thanksgiving, it certainly looked askew that way. I think the affluent consumer who is in pretty good position, it's not going to make or break them if they save $100 on a particular item that's a doorbuster. But for that lower income consumer, absolutely, it's a huge part of the savings that they need to have in order to stretch every dollar. You notice on Black Friday, too, who participates heavily in this on the retail side of things. And typically your upscale, more luxury-oriented retailers don't partake in the discounting. They may not even be open in some instances. We saw Costco, which caters to a typically more affluent consumer, among many others on the high-end Nordstrom, just not being open on Thanksgiving. Not necessarily opening as early as the others on Black Friday morning, and certainly not getting involved in all the large deals that they've been putting forth.
Right.
I think there's a demographic or an income aspect to the shopping on Black Friday.
Let's go to an email here. Jace wants to know if there's any way for us to measure the impact of the Friday blackout, Black Friday protest movement, which was largely generated by the Ferguson protest. Could this be a reason that the numbers were down this year? There were a lot of protests around the country.
And looking at it in the news, it looks like there were quite a few. I don't know if you can quantify it. I doubt the retailers will break that out and provide that information. My guess is, given the large footprint that so many of these national retailers have, the impact was probably just on the margins. I think the bigger impact is the dilution of the holiday, as we've talked about, being a cyber week, a Black Friday week, almost a Black November to some extent, as well as the bigger issue of the lack of wage gains in the economy. I think that's what's really keeping sales down.
Let's read some Facebook comments. Comment on what you will. Cliff says maybe part of the reason that sales are down is that after doing Black Friday shopping year after year, we're finally caught up on all the stuff that we have to buy. Marcus says fads fade, but Leonard says it was the worst I've ever seen it. Definitely not fading. And John says it's only called Black Friday by media marketers. I call it the day after Thanksgiving. I'm with him on that. It is the day after Thanksgiving, so it's never been Black Friday to me.
Yeah, I like that sentiment. it is the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
It's not a national holiday to shop. That's right.
Yeah. Steve in Reedsburg. Hi.
Hi, Sam. I'm just wondering, with all this Black Friday hype and such, over the years I've heard, mostly on public radio, different times when it's actually better to shop, and I wonder if your guest, if he's compared, when you actually save more money, is it to buy an item, say, like a TV, are you really better off at Black Friday? Or I've heard after Christmas is better. And in some cases, I've been told by some of the retailers, hey, come in. Our lull time of the year is actually January, February, and mid-March, when we're trying to unload a ton of stock. And it's actually you get better prices then than you will on Black Friday.
All right.
Is any of that true?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I think it's on a lot of consumers' minds. This isn't something we focus on specifically at Retail Metrics, but my understanding is, particularly in the last few years, there are actually some better deals taking place prior to Black Friday on the weekend before. You've got a number of national retailers now offering price matching, so they're willing to price match, particularly Walmart, Target, and others that are willing to match Amazon. So I think it's really a matter of just keeping a track of those particular prices. Bring it, print it out, bring it in, and you should be able to take advantage of it. I don't know if you necessarily have to get that particular item unless it's a doorbuster. I mean, there were a number of doorbusters offered on Black Friday. There's a limited amount of product and selection. that you can get. That those are often great deals. But I think more broadly speaking, the weekend before, as well as that final week leading into Christmas, and then afterward.
When do you shop?
When do I shop? I'm a last-minute shopper.
Are you?
I'm a typical guy. I tend to wait for wait until the final week.
Thanks, Steve, for your call. Margie in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Margie.
I've only gotten a taste of your program, but I work at one of the retail shops that was open on Thanksgiving as well as Black Friday. Mm. And one thing I wanted to point out was that a lot of our customers apologized for being there.
Aww.
And they felt bad that we had to work to allow them to shop, but they felt like they were there for certain items and they were going to be gone because there were only so few.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just on Thursday, but on Friday, I noticed more apologies than I've heard in recent years. And that was interesting. And I think what your guest was saying, I think people are getting a little irritated with how some of the shopping is interfering in our lives.
I agree. Were you upset that you had to work? You must have been, that you had to work on Thanksgiving.
Well, I was lucky because some of the younger kids don't mind working that shift. So and we were lucky enough to be able to post the first and second choice. So I came in early Friday morning. I didn't have to work on Thanksgiving itself.
Mm-hmm.
But so a lot of the younger people did. And the other thing you were saying about costing, a lot of people aren't very money percentage-wise aware. And sometimes a sale might say 50% off, and you say, well, I'm going to have my 30% or my 45% or 20% next week. I'm going to wait and get it then. Well, then it might only be 10% off, and you might have a 25% off, but you would have been better off if you'd gotten it with 50% with no coupon.
Right.
Because it's the first discount that makes the most difference on what you're going to pay. And it's really nice to see how people decide which sale they're going to go with.
Mm-hmm. Well, what she said is interesting. People saying they were sorry, expressing apologies to the people who are waiting on you. Doesn't that indicate, Ken, that something's off? Really?
Yeah, it's interesting. I worked in the retail industry for what I considered to be, six or seven long years in the early 90s and late 80s, early 90s. And I don't remember anybody saying they were sorry for being there on Black Friday. And we weren't open on Thanksgiving. I think that you might feel a little more guilty. I didn't notice people doing that out in the stores that I was in on Thanksgiving either. But I think that's great. You're out in Wisconsin. I'm on the East Coast. You guys are a lot friendlier out there than we are here on the, there's just no, anybody I meet from the Midwest is just so much nicer than anybody here.
Oh,
on the coast.
Ken.
I don't think you would see that here in the Boston area. I think it's more of a regional thing.
Well, you sound pretty nice. I'm sure you spread some good cheer, don't you? Got a good laugh, et cetera. Well, somebody's got to stop this Thanksgiving, stores opening on Thanksgiving. I think it's sinful. I can't, it's a day of national Thanksgiving started by Abraham Lincoln, for heaven's sake. During the Civil War, you got to honor it and not go shopping. It just bugs me. I just think it's so wrong.
Here in New England, we have three states. We have Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and in Maine. And the three of them, have blue laws dating back to years and years, decades back. And so the retailers are not allowed to open on Thanksgiving Day in those three states here. And if the national legislatures, were willing to legislate it, I don't think most people would be disagreeing with them. And the NRF might, or maybe the retailers might lobby, but generally speaking, I think most people would prefer not to have to deal with it on Thanksgiving.
Mm. So we need somebody to introduce a bill in Wisconsin.
To save them from themselves.
Right.
If everybody's forced to be closed, then they don't have to worry, the old Macy's Gimbals, you don't have to worry about your competitor being open while you're not and taking all
right.
your pills.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So for those of us who are like you and tend to shop at the last minute, are we going to see terrific bargains in the next couple weeks?
I think you will.
Right.
I really do, because the Black Friday weekend, whether it was strong online or whether it was soft in the stores, it wasn't where retailers wanted it to be. And I think they're going to feel a sense of urgency to continue to offer deals between now and the end of the holiday season in order to drive traffic and book sales. So I do think they're going to continue to be some deals out there. You have to be selective and careful. If you're looking for a really hot item, it may not be there if you wait too long. So you always have to factor that into your equation. But I do think the deals will continue to flow throughout the rest of this holiday season.
Thank you, Ken, so much for being with us. Happy holidays. Thanks for all the info.
Thank you, and same to you and your listeners.
Mm-hmm. Ken Perkins, he is the founder of Retail Metrics, and they provide the institutional investment community with independent research on the whole retail industry. So he's been looking around to see what's been happening with our shopping patterns the last few days and into the holiday season. What did do very well was this buy local movement, and we're going to talk about what happened in Milwaukee. You can tell us what happened in other parts of the state. People deciding they're going to help local businesses, help employment in their communities, help the economy of their local communities. It was started some 5 years ago, and it's just grown and grown. So we'll talk about that movement as we continue, and welcome more of your phone calls, too. The phone number here is 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program today, we're going to be talking about the world's billionaires. There are now 1,645 of them. And they, according to our guest, who's the author of Billionaires, Reflections on the Upper Crust, have a very conservative set of politics, and they are in a very strong position to affect a variety of different issues. So Daryl West, author of Billionaires, will be with us hour two of our program. What did do very well this year, at least in the Milwaukee area and in other parts of the country and the state as well, shopping locally. There was a huge fair at the Domes in Milwaukee I went to on Saturday. I couldn't believe you couldn't get a parking spot. It was so crowded, and there were all kinds of vendors and great enthusiasm for Milwaukee's local first holiday fair. Kelly Andrew is our guest this hour, and Kelly is managing director for Local First Milwaukee and owner and chief strategist for Filament, which is a communication strategies consulting firm, Local First, a membership alliance of local independent businesses and nonprofits who encourage shoppers to spend their money locally. We're welcoming phone calls for her. You may have had these in other parts of the state, which we would like to hear about. Our number is 800-486-8655. And hello, Kelly.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for having me.
Your event was, you must have been really happy. It was enormously populated and lots and lots of vendors. And I'm sure those who were there were very happy with it.
We were very pleased. It was actually doubled since last
Goodness.
Year. So in 1 year, we increased our space. We had almost double the amount of vendors, but our attendees, the people who came, we had 900 last year in 2013. This year we had 1,865.
Isn't that something?
There are people who really are investing in the community through their decisions about where they're spending their money.
So what difference does it make? Why did this organization get started?
Sure. Local First Milwaukee has been around for about 7 years. It started with six companies who said, this is important. We need to help each other out. We need to make sure that we all thrive and survive here in Milwaukee, and we need to be telling people why it matters to shop local. Those dollars make much more of an impact when they stay in our community here than when they go out to a national chain. I think the numbers are like for every dollar you spend locally, 84 cents is reinvested locally versus about, you know, 38 cents when it's a national chain. Mm. So that's a big deal. Those dollars are in our neighborhoods, in our communities. Your neighbors might own a business. It makes a big difference.
And it also gives a community a sense of what the community is, too. It gives you character. Every community can put up a big box shop. Not every community can have, you know, a wonderful soap shop or a great bookstore.
Absolutely. Sustaining what we have here is we do have a really unique and cool community. There are a lot of these grassroots organizations. They're called independent business alliances, and that's what Local First Milwaukee is throughout the United States. But one thing you may not know is we have the largest largest independent business association right here in Wisconsin. It's in Madison, called Dane by Local. And Local First Milwaukee is really, you know, striving to achieve that as well. We have about 250 members right now. The businesses here are what keep Milwaukee really cool and mm-hmm. really exciting to be part of. We not only are doing retail, but the restaurants and local banking, local businesses who are in the more business-to-business market. It's all really important when it comes to a thriving community here.
So how do you become a member of this? You're a small business, and why would you become a member, and
sure.
how do you become one?
Yeah. Local First Milwaukee, our criteria for membership is that you must be locally owned and independent. So the reason for that is we want our businesses to be able to make decisions right here in Milwaukee when they're doing marketing, when they're spending dollars on, you know, product. We want them to be focused right here. You can apply to be a member business right online at localfirstmilwaukee.com. We do have a little a wait time where we check out and make sure that you're owned and operated locally. And then membership is a fantastic thing. You get a feature on our website. You get invited to networking events to, you know, get in with other business owners around the community. Our press, our media is something that we're really proud of. We love to talk about you and your business. And really, it just sets you apart as Local First Milwaukee. Our directory, you know, is local and independent. So our consumers can also go there and say, we know that these businesses have been vetted and we know that they're local.
Yeah. And I also noticed that you have all these events that take place. I mean, there's a whole list of them that go all the way through, what, January and February and March?
We sure do. We love putting people in a position to network with other businesses. We think there's enough business here in Milwaukee and the surrounding area for all of us to thrive. So networking is a big thing. We've got a few other big events. Like you mentioned, our biggest signature event is the Buy Local Gift Fair, which happens every year. We also just held an event called Food Fright, which was a Halloween party at Lakefront Brewery. We featured 18 local food businesses, restaurateurs. Really great way for people to support the community and learn a little bit more about where are all my businesses and who are running them.
Mm-hmm. And what about employment? Can you hire more people than national chains are able to do?
Yeah, you know, we're having a huge impact, and we are working on a statistical summary of that right now. But, you know, looking at our businesses, it's not only small businesses who are local independent. We have businesses like Outpost Natural Foods, Go Right Way Transportation Services, you know, these bigger businesses with over 500 employees that are really having an impact on employment locally.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome phone calls for Kelly. We're talking about buying locally, and it turned out that last weekend was very good for buying local movement, really all over the country. It certainly was true here in Milwaukee. This year's Small Business Saturday, or Buy Local, celebrating a few years it's been around with great support for local independent businesses nationally. 88 million consumers shop small, and that is up 14.9% from 1 year ago. Two-thirds of the population aware of Small Business Saturday, and $14.3 billion was spent with independent retailers and restaurants, which is up from last year. Were you a part of that movement? Do you say that you will shop locally? Small businesses, as you do holiday shopping, how important it is to the sense of a community, to employment in the community, the character of a community. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, and we start our calls for Kelly with Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I was part of a local shopping Saturday, last Saturday, in Coloma, Wisconsin, which is a little tiny town, 450 people in southwest Washira County.
Oh.
There are probably five businesses in town, and they were all dressed up. Everybody was decorated, and they had a parade at 5 o'clock. And Santa arrived on the fire truck with reindeer walking behind throwing candy for children. And then everybody went for hot chocolate at the various businesses afterward. We're only one block long. You know, then we all sang Christmas carols, and we lit the tree in front of the grocery store.
Oh,
What a celebration you had.
It was just precious, and the merchants were just as friendly as could be, and it was wonderful to just be able to come out and see what they had.
And Lynn, how long have you been doing this? How many years?
This is their very first year.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
That's great. Doesn't it make a difference when you can put a face with a name of who you're buying from and why it matters?
Yeah, and talk about a sense of community. You know, every time we went in on the, you know, like, before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving. Oh, are you going to come to the parade? Oh, be sure you come on Saturday. The parade starts at 5. You know, and there probably were 200 people on the streets. It was great.
It is great. You may be have extended an invitation to other people who may not have what you have to come next year. And I would imagine it's going to become an annual event.
I think it was very, very successful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks so much, Lynn, for your call. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Do you know how many such happenings there were in Wisconsin over the weekend?
I don't. That's a great question. I think, you know, this buy local movement has really changed over the last few years, especially with the involvement of American Express and the Shop Local Saturday event that they put on. Really, all these businesses can get some free promotional items and can really put themselves out there. So we've kind of evolved from a very grassroots thing in the small communities and in the bigger communities like this to a national presence that's making a difference and having an impact.
We go to Jean in Milwaukee next. Hi, Jean.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question for your guest is, in the Milwaukee area or in Wisconsin, are there any small businesses that deal with office supplies so that other small businesses, we have an option other than going through the big chains?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Like I said, if you visit localfirstmilwaukee.com, we have a full directory there of all local independent businesses, and we do have quite a few suppliers there. When we kick off the new year, we have our Grow Local Business campaign starting in February, and that's our effort to let other businesses know, you know, you can get your paper products locally, you can get your printing done locally, you don't have to source all of that out. We have some really competitive other businesses right here in our area.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for your call. If your community in Wisconsin or beyond had such an event on Saturday, a local first event, a small business Saturday, we would love to hear from you. Be you a business that participated or somebody who did participate that way? Or if as a consumer you've decided to skip the malls, you're going to shop locally, why you do that and where you go? Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And Kelly Andrew is our guest in our Milwaukee studios. Kelly is managing director for Local First Milwaukee and is the owner chief strategist for Filament, which is a communication strategies consulting firm. More calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program today, the author of Billionaires, Reflections on the Upper Crust. There are a little less than 2,000 billionaires on this planet, and our guest talks about how they are in a very strong position to affect a variety of issues. Many of them are extremely politically engaged. Many around the world have run for office. Many have won. And their political views differ significantly from those of the general population. Daryl West joining us, author of Billionaires, coming up hour two. Here's an email that's come in from Haley. Kelly, I don't celebrate any form of winter holiday. I think that it's ridiculous that our entire economy is based around this time of year. Let me ask you, in terms of small businesses, is their very health and future determined this time of year, or does it go way beyond that?
Absolutely. Just like the big businesses, this can be a critical time for our local independent businesses. So it is a huge shopping time. You know, respect that not everyone celebrates at this time, but it's become such an ingrained part of our culture that if we can get people to shift just a little bit of their spending locally, it can really have an impact, a make or break impact, like you said, on these local businesses.
Mm-hmm. And what about in terms of, because you have TV and a lot of advertising for a lot of these big places, you know, come we got TVs, you know, $200 or $400. What do local businesses do in terms of getting the word out? Is it word of mouth? Is there...
There's a lot of word of mouth going on. We, you know, do our best to get media interested in what's happening here. So we have had, obviously, some radio press, some TV come out and talk about Local First. And I think it's also the idea that you can, the word of mouth can really spread quickly with social media. So there's a ton of power in, for instance, there was a discounted coupon that you could get for the Buy Local Gift Fair this past weekend. We had a lot of those come through the door, and that was really from one friend sharing the idea
really?
With another friend.
Interesting.
And, you know, sharing your values, I think, when you talk about what's important to you and where your dollars go, that really says a lot about what you care about and who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. So that's really easy for people to share.
Hmm. Reed in Madison. Hi, Reed.
Hi. I just had a quick comment and a question of the guest. The comment is several years ago, about 15, 20 years ago, I asked an accountant friend who had helped people with their taxes on the individual level and as well kept books for large companies, what she thought was going to get the American people through the tough times that we've seen for the last couple of decades. And she said it was going to be things like community gardens and buying local. And I totally agree with her thesis there. It just seems to be what she predicted is the way we're managing in these, you know, tough economic times. My question of the guest is this. Pick a town, you know, about the size of Madison where they're not advanced with buy local as in Milwaukee and Madison, but they're aware of it and they've begun and they're sort of feeling the way along. As a communications professional, what advice would she give these other communities to strengthen their efforts and get them, you know, moving along in the directions we've seen in Madison, you know, Dane buy local and in Milwaukee?
Sure. There are some great organizations and resources out there that you can use to help you get started with that Independent Business Alliance. One of them is called AMIBA, the American Independent Business Alliance, and the other one is called BALI. These two are dedicated nationwide to helping our little grassroots organizations thrive and grow and gain traction. There are complementary marketing pieces that you can use and you can brand for your specific communities. There are campaigns that have worked in other places. There are conferences that you can go to. I got really excited this last year. The AMIBA National Conference was actually in the Twin Cities, and just some great ideas for things that we have implemented already. Our Food Fright event, getting people more engaged with local food in our community, was inspired directly from something I learned there. So there are some great resources out there, and I would venture a guess if a smaller community in, you know, in our area here or even nationwide wanted some advice or some input on how to get going, you could call the director of any of the existing Independent Business Alliances, and they would be glad to talk to you and give you support and encouragement.
Is that helpful, Reed?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, thanks very much for your call. Our number is 800-486-8655. Do you set a goal, Kelly, for the organization that you would like by the end of this year to have the double the number of businesses you have now or anything
sure.
like that?
Sure. We actually just did some really fun and exciting strategic planning with our board here in Milwaukee, and we did come up with a three-year plan that we would like to see. One of our goals is 90% renewal rate from our businesses. That would mean, you know, the 250 businesses that we have this year would continue into next year. We would also like to see ourselves get to 1,000 businesses in the next 3 to 5 years. It's really, we have that many local businesses here in Milwaukee, and we see it as strength in numbers. You know, the more press we can all get, the better it is for us all. The more engagement we can get from the community, the better for us all. So we have some big, lofty goals going on, but with the hard work of the people who are active on our board, our members, and the community, the volunteers who are saying, you know, I don't own a business like this, but gosh, I support you and I want mm-hmm. you to thrive. we think we can make it happen.
And is it from, would you take people from all over Southeast Wisconsin or Milwaukee County or what?
Sure. Local First Milwaukee covers the five-county area here, so north and south and west of us. And then when you get over to Dane County, it turns into Dane by Local, which is a very similar organization. Uh-huh. So not competition with us. It's different regions. But some of the counties aren't covered. So kind of like our last caller just said, it's important to engage that no matter how big or small your community is, you can talk about buying local and supporting, you know, your Main Street movement right here.
It's interesting. You talked about social media. Isn't it amazing? That really struck me that people found out about a coupon that would lower the price. It wasn't very expensive to get into this, and it was at the Domes, and you could go see the Domes as well. But that's how it started. People just sent a message.
Yep.
So you can build a movement that way just by sending...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the most powerful things we have going for us is the many thousands of people who are watching what Local First is doing and who we're involved with and who is involved with us on Twitter and Facebook. I think Twitter, we've got about 9,000 followers right
Goodness
now.
Goodness gracious.
It's crazy, you know, and we'd love to see that be 100,000 followers. This whole city would be great. But it's just engaging people to get them talking and get them to think about, again, their values. What do they like to see? What do they love about this city? And then letting them know how to keep that going and how to keep those unique qualities thriving here and make sure that your favorite restaurant doesn't go away or your favorite boutique that carries adorable kids' clothing is still here next holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And will you have other events? I know you have this very large event that just took place last Saturday. What about going up to the holidays or beyond? How do you continue this? Don't just buy local during the holidays, buy local all the time.
Sure. We've got some really cool campaigns that we do throughout the year. So right now, we're obviously in buy local because 'tis the season for people to be spending a little bit more. As we go into the new year, we'll be talking about the business-to-business resources and growing local business. Our annual meeting happens typically in March, and we do a vendor fair there where businesses can learn where they can get the resources that they need. After that, we jump into bank local, which not many people think about banking locally, but it has a huge impact. It's just the same as going into your local, you know, grocery store and knowing who you're buying from. Where you keep your money matters. And when you keep your money in a local bank, they're giving small business loans. They are putting those dollars right back here. And it's a lot easier to, you know, deal with that. So banking local is one of our focuses. And then again, towards the end of the year, we go into eat local. Where does your food come from? Where, you know, where are you spending your dollars when it comes to food?
Right. And how would you assess the climate, the small business climate in Milwaukee? Are we pretty good when you compare us with other cities? Are we struggling?
I think we're doing a pretty good job. There are a lot of resources out there. One of our members, WIBIC, the Wisconsin Women's Independent Business Initiative, is a huge advocate and is really helping these small businesses find space, find the resources, get funding, get the education they need to have a thriving business. Organizations like ours, of course, are out to talk about and communicate to the community why it's important to buy local. I think we do a really good job, and there are dollars here to be had for entrepreneurs and people who are seeking this to do business here.
I've heard that there's a thriving group of young entrepreneurs in this city, which is nice to hear.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, I'm seeing a couple things in what I'm reading. We do have this young group, but then there's also a group of retirees who are saying, I'm not done yet.
Right.
You know, retirement is a little bit different, and there's still life to live, and there's a lot of business expertise right there, mm-hmm. too. So we've got both ends of the spectrum, and we are seeing new businesses every year start up and, you know, take a jump start and thrive here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that at the fair. There were people who were doing sewing, which is wonderful, making beautiful things. Food, of course, mm-hmm. is always big. And a lot of artists.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. We've got some really unique, unique, cool businesses. And I think the other great thing that I'm seeing, I'll use this as an example. At the Buy Local Gift Fair, I think we had five businesses who do organic body products, so soaps, lotions, scents, those kind of things. And I talked to all of them very purposefully because I was a little worried, you know, who is it going to affect right. their sales? All of them said, we're doing great. We should have brought more product,
wow.
you know? So I think this community, it really is investing in all of the local businesses.
Give us a website or something for more information.
Sure, localfirstmilwaukee.com.
Localfirstmilwaukee.com. Thanks, Kelly, very much. Happy holidays to you.
You too.
Yeah. And we thank both of our guests for being with us this hour, talking about what we're doing in terms of shopping. And it was interesting, huh? We thank Kelly Andrew, Managing Director for Local First Milwaukee, owner and Chief Strategist for Filament, and earlier our guest Ken Perkins from Retail Metrics. Thanks to both of them. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this hour and to Scotty Myers for on-air production in our studios in lovely downtown Milwaukee. News is coming up. And the second hour, we're going to be talking about, you know, I don't know what people do with this kind of money, but we'll find out what they're doing with it, at least politically. The author of Billionaires, Reflections on the Upper Crust, coming up after the news from NPR.